Recorded live at the wonderful Big Sushi Studio, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Slaughter Film.
Hello, you filthy animals. I am Corey. I sometimes try to suffocate my roommate when they're asleep, Car. And I'm accompanied, as always, by Forrest. He doesn't know how close he was to dying, Taylor. And this is Slaughter Film, the weekly podcast devoted to reviewing the films that are legendary, even in hell.
Yes, and joining us always is our fabulous producer, John Linvay.
Present!
Yep, and today we're going to be reviewing a couple of alien sex movies to celebrate this wonderful holiday known as Valentine's Day. Corey is doing Inseminoid, which I've never heard of, but the title sounds fabulous.
It's like Inseminate.
Yes.
Yeah. With Inseminate and Inception.
Calm down, Hans. Hans Zimmer is also joining us today. And I am doing the South Korean film Invasion of Alien Bikini. Not Invasion of the Alien Bikini, just Invasion of Alien Bikini. But first of all, why don't we talk a little bit about what went on this fine week?
Yes. Well, Monday, was it?
Yes.
We took a trip south to Edinburgh University.
It sounds where, so far away. We took a trip down south.
It was an arduous journey.
Forrest and I, well, we got together.
Did an oxen die? Did you lose an oxen?
Yeah.
We filled our fanny packs.
Did Randy get typhoid?
So we went down to Edinburgh University because in April, John Waters is going to pay the joint a visit and speak and carry on and do whatever he does.
It is going to be awesome.
Awesome mustache, yeah. So we went down there to get tickets because John Waters seems like the type of person that in our area, most people don't know who he is. But at the same time, our area is filled with enough weirdos that we may have not got a chance to buy tickets if we waited.
Well, yeah. I mean, because think about why he's here. He's here because there was a petition to get him here. So there's obviously enough scumbags that want to see him.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I don't know if any of you listening helped, because I know we mentioned it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But,
well,
like,
if you did, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Because now John Waters is here. And
hooray!
Our friends and us are going to sit together, and hopefully he'll call us all bears.
Yeah, we were thinking about that. Like, naturally, because we're all friends, we'd sit together, and I think of all of our close-knit group of friends, we're all, like, bearding it out. And
you guys should, like, really, like, dress, like, to fill that role.
flannel shirts with no sleeves.
That's right.
Really, really tight undershirts that are, like, with, like, teddy bears and stuff on it.
Jean short cutoffs.
Yeah, never new jeans.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to that. Actually, after we're done recording this, we're probably going to go watch Pink Flamingos.
Yes, so. I went crazy on my Netflix and just got all of his movies on my queue, so they're coming one after the other. And the first one was Pink Flamingos, so after this, we're all heading down to my place to watch Pink Flamingos.
Yay. Yeah.
But the trip to Edinburgh and just like actually being in the university was fun because I felt so out of place. Because I'm now 8 years graduated from college. I'm just like, I'm just some whacked out old man. Everyone's going to think I'm crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
Then we went into that, like, rec room or whatever where they were selling the tickets. And instantly, some dude noticed my, I was wearing a Lucio Fulci zombie shirt. And he was like, oh, cool, Fulci. And then we started talking about Argento movies. And it was awesome. And as we left, I was like, yeah, I'm still in with the cool kids.
Except for he immediately got a swirly after you left.
Well, yeah, but...
See, like, when I go to a college, university, you know, campus,
the girls
whatever,
run.
Well, that's, I feel like a child molester. Because
you are a child molester. I have the forms and documents to prove it.
Because, like, we were walking from the parking lot to the building to buy the ticket, and I'm like, hey, look at that ass. Oh, she probably just graduated high school last year. Oh, well. She's old enough to vote.
It's like that.
Vote for my heart.
What?
Oh, that was sweet.
It's like it is Valentine's coming up.
It's like the Easy E song. You know, college girls are easy.
Well,
forever, because college never changes.
No matter how old I get, they stay the same age.
Yeah,
or
that's
something.
Yeah, that's the. Not a child molester.
Well, I mean, children are still the same age. But, okay.
All right, this is getting weird.
Yeah, this is getting weird.
Quick, call the judge.
Other than that, though, I've been very busy lately. I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. I don't think I have. But I got picked to be one of the screenplay judges at the Erie Horror Fest. And that's what I've been, like, biding my time doing, is just reading various screenplays that I've been sent and then giving them reviews or whatever. Just basically just rating them on a scale of 1 to 10, you know.
Were you the first or last pick? Was it like a dodgeball scenario where, like, a bunch of people were lined up?
I don't know. I hope I wasn't the last one picked, because that would be a blow to my self-esteem. But, it's been fun. I've just been getting scripts and reading them. It's like, some of them have been surprisingly good. Some of them not so much. I'm not going to get too much into the details because I don't know, like, what I can and can't say with this
Any NDAs you had to sign for that?
No. But I just, like, asked if I could be a screenplay judge, and they were like, okay, you're in. And then that was that.
Well, you know a few people who have
very
done...
intense vetting process. Yeah.
You know a few people who have, like, screened films and stuff. So
yeah.
I'm sure they're like, Forrest, yeah, sure. Here's a box of scripts. Get busy.
We'll give you this glorious job of reading, proofing these scripts for us.
And the weird thing is that I expected me to, like, be handed some actual, like, physical copies of screenplays, but they've all been sent electronically because it's the future now. But it's so weird, like, when I sent a screenplay to the competition back in 2009, I actually, like, physically mailed it, and now here we are just 4 years later, and it's all electronic now, so... Again, I feel like some whacked out old man. I do. I despise
trees. Fuck these
trees.
I'm gonna print the Bible 10 times.
There's only enough room for one forest in this area.
Oh. I gotta stop. We gotta start over, Corey. Sorry, I can't. I don't want to. Oh.
So anyway, hey, this is Slaughter Film. We're starting. But that's me. Getting tickets for John Waters and reading scripts. How about you?
I've been thinking about doing taxes and watching Walking Dead. Work's been slow. Yeah. So I'm just like, what is that over there? Oh, yeah, I remember when I liked this. I remember when I bought it. I'm going to sell it on eBay. I need to pay a bill. In a nutshell. It's not that bad, but work is slow.
Yeah.
How about you?
I've been incredibly busy this week, last week through this week. Yeah. We should also mention it was, I celebrated my cousin's 21st birthday.
Ooh.
So okay. I took him out.
Yeah. And, I remember the conversation about that.
I gave him the proper Linvay, send off into the drinking age. So, I took him to a lot of bars. A lot of bars, a lot of beers. Car bombs were involved because that's tradition. And then the day after that was Harvey's birthday.
That's
right. So that jerk face turned, what, 31?
31, yeah.
What an idiot.
How old?
I know.
And besides that, no, just a lot of busy stuff with work and the website and stuff like that. So I've been keeping busy. I find it very interesting, however, to mention this, that over the past few weeks, we've been, like, sort of not talking about horror films. And I think this week we're finally getting back to it.
Yes.
However, I will mention this for everyone listening. I have been playing through the Dead Space games, and those things are fucking terrifying.
Yes, they are.
That's what I hear.
The very first Dead Space game, I've played through that game multiple times already, and we're playing through all of them because the new one came out, and that game is still fucking terrifying me. I've beaten that game several times, and I'm still, like, I still save every time I can because I'm just like, oh, fuck. Shit. This is terrifying. So that's what I've been up to.
All right. Very well.
Getting scared proper. Hate it. It's the worst. How do you guys do it? I think about that sometimes. Like, I don't like scary movies. Like, I'm never. I think it's just because of the I'm too empathetic.
Mm.
So, but you guys are troopers.
Well, I think one
especially
thing,
you, Forrest. You watch the really.
I do. I watch the really extreme stuff.
I look at scary movies as like an older brother. Like, I'm not a kid anymore, so
you
I don't
need someone to beat you up.
Well, I don't get like shocked and cry about it, but when a movie genuinely scares me, I'm like, all right, you got me.
That's what it is. It's kind of like the thrill of danger without there actually being danger around. And I can get into a whole, like, psychoanalysis of, like, why that is appealing. It's the roller coaster type thing, you know? You want to be scared, but you want to be scared in a controlled environment where you're not actually getting hurt.
Right.
You know?
Even roller coasters, those are things I'm like, now that I'm older, I'm like, yeah, I never have to do those again. Great! That's totally okay!
Like, Forrest and I, before we started doing Slaughter Film, we spent a lot of nights drinking beer, playing Russian roulette.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
And flogging each other. No, it doesn't hurt yet. Keep going. I can almost feel my life. I can almost feel childhood again.
Oh, my. Well, I guess we should move on to our reviews.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know.
I'm setting you guys up to start talking about horror films again. We're back. Welcome home, everybody.
But I'm going to segue into when we didn't talk about horror films because there is a story behind my movie I picked.
Oh, okay.
I never would have heard of this movie if not for Judge Dredd because, you know, before we do our review, we have to, like, watch the movie and, you know, get an idea of what we're going to talk about, what we're not going to talk about, whatever. So, I had to find Judge Dredd somewhere. Unfortunately, since it's the future, the entire movie was available on YouTube. So I just watched it via that, even though you're not supposed to. I mean, YouTube does have, like, copyright laws or whatever. But,
no, they do, but some, yeah. It means that someone gave them the legal permission to do so.
Yeah. Or some countries are a little different, too.
Yeah.
So if the person who posted it is, you know, outside the States, or it usually helps them or hurts them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when the movie was over, they afterwards, you know, YouTube puts up a link of other stuff that I might be interested in. The very first one was a South Korean movie called Invasion of Alien Bikini. I was like, well, I kind of have to now. So I clicked on it, and it was the whole movie. So I was like, hey, like, you know, the description said Invasion of Alien Bikini 2011, romantic comedy horror film. And I was like, oh, cool, romantic comedy and a horror. It's Valentine's Day coming up. This will be my next Slaughter film review. So,
like, fucking perfect.
Yeah, so I decided to do that, not actually watching the movie. And then I watched it, and it's actually a very, very flat film, and there's really not that much to talk about. So my review will probably be pretty short, but oh, ho, ho, I made my stupid, stupid decision, and now I have to live with it. South Korean movies, like, I mentioned before that I think that South Korea has, like, has the biggest, like, film boom right now. Their movies are so energetic and so creative, and a movie about a killer alien bikini, that just seems right up their alley, but it's not quite that way, and I'll explain how. The film begins with this guy who has a terrible, you know, crepe hair mustache on. Like, it's, I didn't get it at first. I was like, is this supposed to be, like, a real mustache? Because it's obviously not. He runs into a tunnel on the street and runs into this guy who is also him, except now he has a big, booming Darth Vader voice. And the guy's just like, I won't let you take over the world. I won't let you destroy the Earth. And the big, booming guy's like, you must get out of my time zone or something like that. And I was like, oh, I see. It's all like flashback. We're going to flashback to the beginning. And sure enough, it's what they do. They flashback to this poor woman being chased down by a couple of guys. They catch her, but fortunately, she's discovered by the crazy mustache guy who announces himself as the city protector. I'm like, oh, he's a local superhero, and that's his disguise. That's the worst disguise ever. His superhero outfit consists of a fake mustache, a yellow, like, rain jacket, and jean shorts. And that's his superhero.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I can see Corey doing that.
You totally should. You should be city protector.
Okay, I'm here. What's wrong? Are you in your underwear? Shut up. What's wrong?
I'm here to help. Do you want my help or not? I was watching Gossip Girls.
You should wear the fake mustache over your real mustache. It'd be awesome.
A different colored one, too.
So, the city protector guy fights with these bad guys that are trying to get this woman, one of which catches her and then, like, starts sticking his hand into her back. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? But fortunately, the hero beats them all up and, like, takes the girl, and they run back to his place. And when the bad guys all get up, they're just like, oh no, she's going to be fertilized. And they're like, she's latched on to him now. He is the new target. And I was like, oh, I get it. These guys are actually the good guys, and she's the alien bikini. Well, I was right. They go back to his place, and they get to talking and everything. She asks him, like, what he does, like, who he is and everything. She asks him what his age is, and he says 34, and she's like, me too. And she asks him what he's into. They talk about what he's into and everything, and she's like, me too. And it's like, oh, okay. But anyway,
I've met that girl.
Yeah. One thing leads to another, and they end up start playing some really intense Jenga. Because when I think of a sci-fi horror movie, I think of Jenga playing. And the Jenga scene goes on for like 20 minutes.
What?
Yeah, this movie's only an hour and 15 minutes long, and about 20 minutes of it are spent playing Jenga.
In case you forgot what they were doing.
Yeah.
That's like longer than a real game of Jenga.
well, some high-level shit happening.
I'm actually not going to complain about that because the Jenga scene is probably the best scene because, like, no, it is. No. The characters, they get to talking and they get to know each other and actually starts to feel, like, kind of romantic, even though you know this girl's actually an alien. Things get hot and heavy after the guy loses Jenga. Like, apparently in South Korea, they have different rules for Jenga. He, like, loses, and then the girl gets to, like, thump him on the head. Like, she just flicks him in the forehead.
All right.
Okay.
I think it's standard play for most Koreans.
I guess, yeah.
Whenever you beat someone at anything, you can just flip them in the forehead.
Yeah, but he starts picking up the Jenga pieces for another round, and then she makes her move. She starts making out with them, and the guy pushes away and tells her that he took a vow of celibacy because, like, earlier on he was complaining. Like, she asked him if he was married or if he had a girlfriend, and he said, no, people nowadays move too fast. They only want sex, sex, sex. They come in and they drink and they smoke, and they even have websites where you can meet someone and have sex with them that day. I don't do this kind of stuff. And yeah, it turns out a life of superheroing has made him take a vow of chastity.
Does he have one of those, like, little red rings?
No, he doesn't have a purity ring.
It just reminded me of the movie Teeth. That's why I laugh so hard. I'm like, what?
Maybe his fake mustache also serves as a purity ring. I don't know. But she's not having any of that. She starts undressing in front of him, and he's like, no, no, seriously, I took a vow of chastity. You got to get out of here right now. And he starts trying to back away. And then the, like, slit in her back where the guy stuck his hand in, her spinal cord comes out, ugh, wraps around the guy's throat, and then chokes him. And then he wakes up, and he's tied up in a very exploitative position, I guess I could say. Right. She's standing over him now, and she's like, I need your sperm. I need to get pregnant tonight. And he's like, I can't help you with that. And she's like, oh, I think you can. And she starts going down on him. And apparently this guy has incredible self-control because he's like, you'll never get it from me. And then she comes back up and there's just, like, blood in her mouth. So apparently the guy just, like, shot out blood rather than semen or something. Again, these movies are fucking weird. So then she ties him in a different position and she's got this, like, feather duster. And she's like, I'm going to get it from you one way or the other. And she starts, like, you know, doing the tickle thing. And the guy's like, it's never going to happen. So then she, like, shoves the feather duster up his ass. And he's like, you'll never get my semen.
What the fuck?
So then she tries a different method. She's like, she lets him know. It's like, I need to get pregnant tonight. This is the one night where it can happen.
It's,
if it doesn't
a full
happen.
Moon.
Yeah, basically, she says, if it doesn't happen by the end of the night, then it's not going to happen at all. And then the guy decides to pull a double fast one in ours. He's like, okay, but I took my vow of chastity, so if we're going to have sex, we have to get married. And she's like, okay, I'll marry you. And he's like, okay. And she's like, all right, let's do it now. And he's like, no, we have to actually get married. We have to go and, you know, get a marriage certificate. We'll do that tomorrow. And she's like, I can't wait till tomorrow. I've got to get pregnant tonight. So, way to go.
Logical paradox.
So, then, like, I thought, I was kind of, like, goofily laughing at this. Oh, I forgot to point out, like, at the beginning, it seems kind of comical. Because some scenes are just, like, out there. Like, when they're first making out.
You don't say.
Well, yeah, obviously. But no, I mean, like, even more so than that. When they're first making out, she starts, like, massaging the small of his back. And he's like, what are you doing? Then all of a sudden this doctor shows up and he's like, actually, applying pressure to that area of the back, like, causes men to, like, you know, lose their thought process and causes an erection to happen, like, faster or whatever. And then the girl just looks at the camera and, like, a little sly wink. And I was like, oh, I get it. This is just a parody, you know? And then I was sitting there like, yay, fun. Well, then it gets not fun. Because next thing you know, the guy's tied up and, like, his mouth is taped shut and he has a tube, like, taped to his nose. And she has wasabi and hot peppers and various other horrible spices. She blends them all up and then puts them in the tube. And, like, as he breathes, the stuff gets closer and closer to his nose. And she's like, do you give up yet? Will you give up your sperm? And he's like, never. And then he starts, like, sucking in all the hot sauce into his nose. And it goes on so long that it just gets disturbing. And then it gets more disturbing because she unties him and, like, tries to, like, get him to go at it again. And then he flips out and, like, he, like, trips her up and then just starts, like, pounding on her face with his fist. He's just punching, like, over and over again to the point where her face becomes, like, this bloody mess. Then it flashes back to when he was a kid And it shows him tied up, and his dad is, like, beating him with an umbrella, talking about how, like, there's an evil thing called sin, and you have to avoid it. And I was like, oh, so that's why he has his, like, vow of celibacy, because his dad was some religious crazy person who, like, beat him whenever he, quote-unquote, sinned. That's not funny. That's not funny at all. What the fuck is going on here? Like, and then the guy is strangling the girl, and it flashes back to him as a kid, and like he finally flips out at his dad and starts strangling him, but he's got a rope tied around his neck, so he's being strangled too. So everyone's being strangled at once here. The girl eventually goes limp, and then the guy realizes what he's done. He's like, oh my god, what happened? What happened? And then he starts fucking her. He's, like, looking down at her lifeless body, and he starts doing her. And then, sure enough, the former bad guys, now we know they're alien hunters, they show up. And they're like, what are you doing? She's an alien. If she gets pregnant, it'll be the end of the human race. Why do you ask? Well, here's why. They explain that she's part of a race that came from some planet that lived in, like, a different time zone than we do. Like, time for them moves a lot faster.
So it's like Pacific time.
Yeah, exactly. So... So if she has a child, that child will transfer our time into his time, and a day to them will feel like 10 years to us or something ridiculous like that. Ah. So the whole world will end because he'll change time.
So like Arizona.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but here we are. the guy's like, no... you're not gonna kill this girl. I love her. Even though before she was like forcing hot sauce down my throat, but I guess I love her now. And he starts like kung fu fighting them all. And again, it could be funny, but it's not. He's like breaking their limbs and trying to like strangle them with like cords and shit like that. And then meanwhile, the woman runs off, and then you hear a baby crying. And he's like, oh my god, what have I done? And like the guy, one of the guys he beat up is just like, you have to stop it now. You have to stop this baby before it destroys the earth. And he's like, okay. And then he runs off and he finds the girl in the bathroom. Her back is completely split open because apparently they give birth through their back. And she's dead. And he's like all mad about this because I guess it was a love story the whole time, even though I never knew.
Oh, I get it. He was playing hard to get.
Apparently, yeah. And then we're back at the beginning. He runs to the tunnel and he finds the baby, who is him. It looks just like him, except he's got the booming Vader voice. Yeah, now it all makes sense, doesn't it? He tries to fight it, and it like pushes him for like miles because it's super strong. And the guy starts running back to try and get it again. But by the time he gets to the alien... he's now an old man, and then he dies from old age, and then the alien walks off. Then it cuts to, like, these old calligraphy drawings of this, like, Chinese legend. And apparently there's a legend where this man was out in the woods chopping wood, and he met these two people who were playing Go. And he said, hey, can I play with you? Can I play one round? And they said, okay. He played one round to Go, and then he looked down, and his axe was all, like, rusted and deteriorated. And he's like, oh, I gotta get back home. He gets back home, and... everyone that's there are people he doesn't recognize. And he's like, who are you? And they're like, oh, we're here celebrating the life of our great-grandfather because he went out from the woods and then disappeared and never came back. And now we come here to, like, honor his memory. And he finds out that he's the great-grandfather. And apparently playing Go with these guys altered time. And he was there for, like, decades. And now his parents and his children are all dead. And he's an old man.
That's a way cooler story than what you just said.
Yeah. And apparently this was just, like, a modernization of that story. And then that's it. And then it's over.
Now, things are kind of messed up over there in Koreatown. Because, really, I mean, I don't know. Was it yesterday? They just detonated a nuke. They did a nuclear test. North Korea.
Oh, they did.
I did.
I missed that. Yeah. But I know it's been happening all the time.
Well, no, so. It has been happening all the time. This is like the first. It actually caused a quake that they felt in Japan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like the first good one.
Oh.
It's like, well, I think it's like a 5-kiloton nuke they detonated. Jeez.
I
tested.
Thought once Junior took over, things might be different.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, he's crazier.
Well, I looked at my timing, and there was only like 5 minutes left after the baby was born. I was like, well, they better have some big, epic final fight really fast here, but it didn't happen. So, yeah. Again, like, I watch these South Korean movies. I know, like, a lot of them are making references to what's going on in South Korea right now, but I don't know too much about that. Like, I know there's actually, like, a huge percentage of born-again Christians in South Korea right now, so I get the whole, like, sexual repression thing and everything like that.
Do you think that they knew aliens were coming? That's why they're like, you have to wait until marriage.
I don't know.
Because she could be an alien, so you got to keep that shit wrapped up.
But this movie was not good. And I went in there with entirely the wrong implications. But that's not my fault. I saw a movie that was called Invasion of Alien Bikini, romantic comedy horror film. And I expected a, like, sexy fun time. Instead, I got sexual repression and, like, horrible torture scenes out of fucking nowhere. It's really low budget. Like I was saying to you before, like, 90% of the movie is in this guy's hotel with... it's just these two people just interacting. So I get that it's low budget, and possibly it might even be a student film for all I know. But that doesn't excuse how... simultaneously batshit crazy and fucking boring the story is. Like, almost nothing happens in this movie. It's extremely flat. My favorite things in it, first of all, the Jenga. Like, that Jenga scene, like, it's out of nowhere. It's just so weird. They're just sitting there playing Jenga. But it's actually kind of nice. They're actually, like, sitting there talking and getting to know each other. It's the only time it felt like the movie was actually a romantic comedy before it becomes, like, torture fest. Another great scene. When she's, like, first making out with him, trying to seduce him or whatever, the guy starts talking to himself, and he says, like, 6 times 2 equals 12, 6 times 3 equals 18, 6 times 4 equals 24, and I was like, I could make so many Asian jokes about this. I'm like, wow, even having sex, they're still doing math, you know, or whatever. The third best thing, and I was going to mention this before, but I forgot, but now I just remembered. The guy, when he's not wearing his superhero raincoat, he's got this green shirt on that has, like, some drawing on it. And I was looking, I was like, that's a person, but who is that? And I saw it more and more. I could, like, make out, like, a head and, like, ears. I was like, is that Obama? And then, sure enough, I saw the shirt, like, full on. I was like, it is Obama! He was just wearing a shirt with a caricature of Obama on it. I didn't know that Obama was big in South Korea, but apparently big enough that they're making t-shirts of it.
That's funny.
Worst thing about this movie, where the fuck was the alien bikini? That's a legitimate question.
A false bill of goods.
See, I knew you were going to talk about this, and I found myself earlier today daydreaming about the title. I'm like, so wait, is someone... are we all, like, getting guns and we're going to invade an alien bikini? Or is it an invasion of... like, is it an alien bikini invading? I don't...
That's what I assumed. Like, I had this whole idea in my head before I saw it of, like, this alien bikini that comes, and whenever women put it on, they turn into, like, crazed, like, sex bots or something like that.
But now there's a movie.
Yeah! But there wasn't even a bikini. Like, the woman spends most of the movie wearing a bra and panties, but that's not a bikini. Oh, by the way, that's another comment I gotta give the movie. The woman who plays the alien chick is unbelievably cute, and she spends most of the movie in a bra and panties. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Well, this is what I get for just watching a movie based on a recommendation from YouTube.
You have the internet on random.
Yeah. Were the panties and bra matching?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I
guess it could be.
Invasion of alien undergarments doesn't quite have the same ring.
You know, it just dawned on me that his superhero outfit being a raincoat, that's like reference to wrapping it up.
Hey.
Like, you gotta have your raincoat on, little Jimmy, or else you might catch STD.
That's there. I mean, it's slightly reaching, but I'll give it to you. One point, Corey.
This movie's deeper than I gave it credit for. I take back everything I say. This is a totally good movie.
The
because
symbology
of that
is running rampant.
Did you just say symbology?
I might have.
All right. No, fine. Okay, cool. That's fine.
But yeah, that's pretty much all that there is to say. I pretty much described the entire movie. Like I said, it's very short. It's only an hour and 15 minutes, and it's very, very flat.
Wait, is she flat? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, dude, no. She is the exact opposite of flat. The movie itself is very, very flat.
Well, it's on a screen, so...
I mean...
Jokes and jokes and jokes and jokes. Jokes and jokes.
This is what I have to work with. but yeah, usually South Korean movies, like, good or bad, they've always got something that's, like, very original about them that I really like. This movie could have been very original, but
it sounds incredibly original. It just sounds dumb.
Well, okay, yeah, that's what I mean. They're always creative, and this movie is, I guess, creative. I've never seen anything like it before. But
there's the quote. I've never seen anything like it.
I mean, come on. Name one movie that's got a 20-minute board game scene in it.
Well, what I meant to say, actually, was they've got real, like, energy and enthusiasm for their story, and this movie didn't. Like I said, when I see that title, I expect some kind of, like, goofy fun, but this movie was just nasty. Like, I'm trying to remember what... I've heard this before. I can't remember who quoted it, so I can't actually quote the person who said it, but he said, when someone slips on a banana peel, that's comedy. When someone slips on a banana peel and then, like, cracks his head and blood starts spilling out, that's tragedy. And this movie took it to that level, and I wanted to just see fun, sexy, alien bikini sexy time, but I didn't get any of that. Instead, I got...
You're going to the wrong website for that.
Instead, I got horrible torture with hot sauce and Jenga.
Jumanji, that's the one. There it is. That's the movie.
There you go.
20-minute board game scene. Except for that's a 2-hour board game scene.
There are lions in it.
There are. There were no lions in this movie. So that's pretty much all I got to say. I'm just repeating myself.
No, you heard it here first. No lions in this movie.
No lions. So,
top in
Seminoid,
that course.
This has got to be better than that.
Well, you know, probably not.
Oh.
Because it's not as original.
Really?
It's one of those...
okay, that's a good point. But...
it's one of those Alien ripoffs.
Oh.
Oh, wait, Alien. Ridley Scott's got something going on here, so if I take half the budget and have a lame-looking alien and make it suspenseful, which this movie regrettably isn't, I'll make some money. And that's pretty much what Inseminoid is. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that's sort of original and neat about it is, comparing it to Alien, was that it took that idea of having an organism growing inside you one step further.
Oh, boy.
Which is actually what resulted in this movie being added to the video nasty list.
Oh, yeah?
And that's probably, like, the most awesome thing I can say. So, yeah, Inseminoid from 1982...
The most dreaded fear of every woman on Earth is even more horrifying in space. The inconceivable is about to be conceived. Inseminoid.
Are you trying to tell me she's pregnant?
The living miracle of creation is now the deadliest force for destruction.
Our story begins as a newly discovered planet is being explored by a team of geologists and archaeologists. No other scientists, it seems, and surely enough other people pulling levers and things in the background. I don't know what fuck everyone's job is. There are a series of caves. That's where they're doing all their exploring, because it was probably too expensive to build the inside of a spaceship. And they probably had, like, cave backdrops already, so they put, like, airlock-looking doors at the ends of them. Yeah, I really had hope for this movie. Even if it was, like, bad, it would be goofy bad, but it's sort of in between. Kind of like Trog was. Yeah, it was kind of unfortunate. So they're exploring all this, and everything's fine and dandy until there's an explosion in one of the caves, and it somehow has to do with strange crystals or... That was something that, like, wasn't really carried through much in the movie, and it's like a big deal at the beginning. Oh, these crystals are, like, nothing I've seen. It didn't fucking matter. So soon after that, workers venture back down into the caves, you know, after the people who are injured are taken out and stuff, try to figure out what was the cause of the explosion. And soon a creature attacks, an unseen force, you know, off camera, and separated from the group is Sandy, played by Judy Geeson, who was in some stuff, but most notably, she was in the Lords of Salem, which is like the new Rob Zombie movie that's out or almost
will out
or something. Yeah. So there's that.
Okay.
Trying to highlight the best parts. So, yeah, she's one of the researchers kind of, like, looking around and trying to discover what happened. she gets attacked by this monster, and when she comes to, she's laying naked on some sort of extraterrestrial examination table or something.
No live-action hentai.
Well, more or less.
Isn't this what you wanted in the movie you watched?
Well, pretty yeah, much. Pretty much.
You're just jealous that he hit Peter.
I am. I'm totally jealous.
So, so she finds herself laying on this table, and she's confronted by a big bug-eyed dick. That's the alien.
Like his one eye, like straight up, like a giant phallus with one eye.
Bug eyes dick. No, it has two eyes. Okay. But
it has two big googly eyes on its dick.
Pretty much, like.
So they took the alien penis head motif and just ran with it.
Mostly. See, this is actually what made me buy the movie.
Oh, please boy. Tell me you're going to put up a screen, like a picture, like a screen grab.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. And I
need to see this.
I was in a store, and I saw this from like across the room, and I saw Inseminoid, and I'm like, well, that title is just too perfect. And I walked over to it, and I picked it up. And then I brought it with me so you guys could see, because I wanted your genuine reactions.
Oh, you have it here? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I saw
yes.
this, and I'm like, well, now I have to buy it. It's like a dickhead.
No.
And then in the foreskin area, it has eyeballs.
No.
Let me see.
No.
It looks like the Guild Navigator from Dune. That's great.
So, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
You need to turn that into like a Valentine's Day card. Like put a little caption on it and then just put it up on the website.
Here's looking at you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's a must.
So yeah, there are some definitely pictures on the website. Check those out.
I can't even describe it. It just looks like a giant penis with like a baby mouth attached to it.
Yeah. That's, it's Inseminoid.
It's, like, so on the nose.
And I guess this movie was released somewhere under the title Horror Planet. Fuck that. Inseminoid yeah. is 1,000 times cooler than Horror Planet, especially when the thing looks like a dick.
Yeah, when you said Horror Planet, I thought at first you said Whore Planet, which was like, I guess that kind of works, too.
A little bit.
Different strokes for different folks.
So, as this, this woman's, like, laying there on this table. She can't move, like, the typical alien abduction right. story type of thing. And I don't know. This dick.
this alien dick.
She watches in terror as it probes her with some sort of a tube with green goo in it.
Oh, no.
And you see, like, a low angle, so it's like the bottom of the screen is like the table she's laying on. You can see her like legs arched and the tube like between like underneath no. her knee. And I'm like, wow, this is fucking weird. Oh my God. But you know, I'm sure this is some sort of like advanced alien goo, you know, something that our stupid minds couldn't possibly understand. Stupid, stupid minds.
Yes.
Plan 9's always good.
Yes.
All right. So once she's found by other people, which like they didn't find like a table. I don't know if this table really existed. It's never was that like a part of some alien ship or
right.
who the fuck knows?
It was aliens Dexter.
Yeah. It was there and now it's not. Now doctors are looking her over because she's you know out cold. They give her a once over. Everything seems to be okay except she's pregnant. And apparently she wasn't before, and apparently not only is it growing inside of her, but it's growing at, like, an accelerated rate, and everyone's worried and confused because...
Sounds familiar.
Up until now, no one has seen or even knows that there are aliens.
It's Jesus. It's yeah. Jesus, baby.
Pretty much. Once she comes to, poor little Sandy, she begins to act kind of weird and turns violent. Apparently, like, alien sperm is more potent than your daddy's bottle of shine, because she loses her shit, every chance she gets, she just attacks and kills the other people on, like, this research crew.
But she's got a baby to care for.
Well, not yet. It's on the way.
I've never seen a pregnant woman kill anyone. Just want to throw that out
I'm
there.
I'm sure it's happened.
I'm sure it's happened, but I've never seen a pregnant woman go, like, nuts and just start ripping limbs off of people.
So, like, one by one, she, you know, whacks them, stabs them, shoots them, burns them, mashes them up, puts them in a stew.
Damn it. Well played, sir.
She does eat them. And, like, if all the effects weren't bad enough, like, there are little continuity errors that, like, I don't know, it seems like the little things should be the easiest to fix. Like, she kills someone and then, like, leans down and starts to eat them, and she, like, raises her head, and there's blood around her mouth. But the next time you see her, it's gone.
Oh,
and, like, if you have
worse.
A bucket of blood somewhere, right? Just, you know what I mean? It's not, like, a big thing, right. But it's very noticeable,
because yeah.
She's, like, the main character, and she's got the most screen time. You'd think it would...
Maybe she's got wet naps.
Hey.
That's true. She's planning ahead.
Yeah, she in it's, the... it's in space, right? So maybe there's just wet naps built into... everything.
That or she and the bug-eyed dick alien were planning a rendezvous.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
This is just giving me excuse, some crazy excuse to say bug-eyed dick alien.
You don't
I'm loving it.
You don't need an excuse.
No.
You just say it.
Well, I say weird shit like 100% of the time anyway, but now it's like, ah, mom, I'm not swearing. I'm just talking about hell, you know, like in the Bible. Hell. Bug-eyed dick alien. Oh, shit. The crew then decides that she must be stopped because they're dying. And they devise a plan to kill her. In fact, they devise several plans to stop her, but each of them fail due to poor storytelling. Because every time they're... Well, first they have a conversation like, no, she's one of us. We can't just kill her. Meanwhile, they're like standing on a pile of bodies. And every time they come up with a plan, for whatever reason, it seems like that one person is going to go get her. And because...
Why?
I don't know. Because it's like, she's obviously changing.
Yeah.
You know, she's stronger than she was before. Like, why send one person into that room alone? That's how they all end up dead.
Oh.
bad storytelling. Sandy is now hiding off somewhere in a pile of trash. At least that's what it looks like. It looks like trash bags. She's now giving birth to two little baby bug-eyed dick people.
Oh, twins! Nice!
Yeah. And she leaves them sit there in the trash because...
That's where you leave babies.
She's a single mother, and toilets are hard to find.
Right, yeah, she grew up in the trailers. Right, got it. Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So she, you know, leaves them to go kill the rest of the crew for reasons I don't understand, because now that she's infected with this alien sperm, she doesn't really talk, or she just kind of grunts and cries. I don't know.
It sounds like most sexual encounters I've experienced.
All right. I'm glad someone had someone to say.
There you go.
I'm here for you guys.
Oh, shit.
Just tears and blood and teeth. It's just not a pretty sight when it's all said and done.
I kept trying, because obviously this is like a unique story from the woman's perspective. Like, you could exaggerate real life and say that,
so it's like a power fantasy for the women. Is this a feminist movie? Is that what you're saying?
But I could see, like, a woman viewing men as, like, they come with their gross little penis and they poke around and now they're pregnant. And now because of that, they're morning sick and they're getting fat and, you know, all that negative stuff that seems to come along with pregnancy.
Meanwhile, the man gets living his happy bug-eyed dick life.
Right. So I'm thinking, is that what this movie's sort of about? Like, she's going through all these emotional things, like she's crying, and you know how, like, a lot of women eat weird stuff? Well, she's eating people.
This is incredibly misogynistic.
First it's pickles, then it's ice cream, then it's people. It always happens.
Like, this movie is only good when I just fucking imagine and fly off the handle like that.
That's a sign of a good movie, when you make up a better story.
I know. So, while she's looking for the other crew members, this guy Mark, played by Robin Clark, hasn't really done much but pull levers and talk to the other people about how they're going to send one person in to confront her. He discovers Sandy's babies and hides them away in an attempt to, like, draw her out so that they can have one final battle royale, you know what I mean? Which they do. He succeeds. He kills this woman, this alien-infected woman. And the last part of the movie, there's like a transport coming to wherever this planet is, and they're like communicating through radio and stuff with like the home base, wherever the fuck that is. And they find everyone's dead, even him, because like I guess the bug-eyed babies. Yeah. You know? And the very last thing you see is the transport leaving, and on the transport, the bug-eyed dick babies snuck on board, leaving it open for a sequel. A sequel that no one will ever want to watch except me, because I've already invested an hour and a half in this bug-eyed dick baby movie, and now if there were a sequel, I would feel compelled to watch it.
You have to know.
I do. What happens next?
You're invested. Those are basically your children.
How many more bug-eyed dick babies will there be? This kind of reminded me of when we did our videos for Deadly Spawn and
Metamorphosis.
Yeah, because like the creature effects, especially Metamorphosis, are somewhat like on par. Okay. Obviously, Metamorphosis had more interesting creatures.
Yes,
but I would put it on par with that one. And how we sort of started to review one of those films, we discovered that it was connected to another, and that's why we watched them.
Yeah,
like if there was a sequel to this, I would have to watch it. I would just have to.
I think I'd have to too. You showed me that box. I was like,
what the fuck? you know, what do I think about it? It's pretty weak. You know how sometimes, like Alien, going back to that as the example, you don't really see the alien very much.
And but, that's what makes it scary?
Right. There's room for all kinds of suspense.
Yeah.
But in this movie, it's similar. You don't see the monster. You see it when she's being attacked at the beginning, and then when the babies are born. But then there isn't suspense, because there's no darkness. There's no isolation. There are too many characters talking about how they've got to stop her, and then they just die. None of them are important. And then it doesn't work good in the other sci-fi typical type of movie fashion, where it becomes more like an action movie.
You're right.
Because there's nothing. There's just this woman, and there's no monster to fight except her. And it's just... I saw it.
Okay. That's your review. In Seminoid, I saw it, Corey Carr.
And now I own it. That's the thing, too. Like, now I own this DVD, and sure, it's a shitty movie, and I won't be in a hurry to watch it again.
That covers a conversation starter,
I know, but, like, it's too good. I can't get rid of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't get rid of that.
So that's In Seminoid. Ladies, next time, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, or maybe an anniversary or something, next time your man is on top of you, and he's giving you the high hard one, just think of bug-eyed dick babies, and... You might be...
You're ruining it for everyone right now.
A little quicker to wrap it up.
There are a lot of movies
no
about...
No one's having sex that listen to this Valentine's Day.
Well, I hope
day.
Not.
There are a lot of movies about aliens impregnating women, because there was also Roger Corman's Humanoids from the Deep, which is kind of the same story.
Yeah, but they just... Well, I'm going to use the word. They just rape the women in that movie.
Well, same thing with...
I'm going to use the word.
You're going to use the word.
You looked at me as if I was going to give you like the go-ahead or the no-go.
Or hit you with a roll-up newspaper. No.
I have to put a dollar in like a swear jar now.
But I was going to say, there's also the movie Breeders, which is also, I'm going to say the word, a big rape fest. And
give you the double cross. No, don't do it.
Have you ever seen Breeders?
No, but I've thought about picking it
up.
It's
terrible. Don't look it up. Like, I watched it. It was... horribly misogynistic and just really poorly made. Although the title's hilarious now, because I don't know how like in tune with the gay culture you guys are. But Breeder is actually like the most common derogatory word that gay people use for straight people. So now that like that title just makes it that much more hilarious.
We know how like it's terrible as it is. Like you'll hear about a guy who's married to this woman and they had two kids, and then he's like was married to this other woman and he has like a couple kids, and now he's dating this other girl and he just found out that she's pregnant. Like, I call those people breeders.
Well, yeah. I think that's what the derogatory term is used for, but now with this movie, it's just like aliens run around fucking every woman they can to have babies, and it's called Breeders, and it's really funny.
No, this movie, In Seminoids, was a little classier. It had
goo-filled tubes.
So, yeah, check that out if you're you got nothing better to do.
Oh my god.
Riveting reviews we gave our movies this time
around. Well, a couple stinkers, I don't know.
So hey guys, we got any comments from our fans and users that pay attention to the dumb things we say on this incredible radio show?
We may have, yes. First is from young man, goes by the name Landon. Do my voice.
I think I might know this guy. I think I might know Landon.
Yeah? he said, loved your Dread episode. The 2012 Dread was one of my favorites of the past year, and we may have convinced him to watch the original Dread movie.
Well, good. It's goofy fun.
Yeah, it's an okay Stallone movie, but a not that great Dread movie.
Yeah, right.
Blah, 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 blah. Do it for us. Do it. Yes. Yes, that made my week.
We're the Hostess Cupcakes.
Oh, they're gone.
That just sounded like the deaf guy voice when I do it. Our buddy Gex said, referring to Forrest last week, he said he was too busy to play the Walking Dead game.
Yeah.
He's like, what do you mean you don't have time for games? Why not just play, you know, Walking Dead instead of watching the next movie you're going to review? Which, the reason was because, now you know, he's busy reading terrible or enlightening screenplays.
Yes.
Those are only two options. They're either terrible or incredible.
Right.
This black and white world we live in.
It is, yes.
And he also pointed out that the 2012 Dread movie was delayed from its theatrical release due to another film coming out around the same time that had a similar plot called The Raid that involved like a tough guy going into a building and beating up a bunch of people.
Who starred in that one?
The
dude.
Can of Raid. I don't know.
A Can of Raid. Yes, the movie was starring a Can of Raid.
I don't know. He had legs and everything. Actually, it's funny now that like we're joking about that because he said that, you know, of course, Dread was like an action movie with like, you know, guns and awesome stuff, but yeah. Raid was like more of a kung fu movie. So I'd like to see a giant a man in a giant can Raid can suit like doing kung fu.
Go play Saints Row the Third. That's in there.
Who?
Saints Row the Third. That has that game has that. You can play like there's
you
mascot.
Play as a can of Raid.
You're like a mascot in like a giant can, like a
really.
If you were like for like Pepsi or Coke.
Whoa!
And you can like, and it looks like you know, like the hot dog costume. Like,
yeah.
But imagine just a can.
I didn't know that this was a real thing. Like,
yeah. And you can kung fu fight.
I thought Corey was just joking around, but you can actually kung fu fight as a can of something.
In a can.
Wow.
Yeah. It's the crazy world we live in.
My mind is thoroughly blown.
I'm smarter beyond my.
That'll be $5 for blowing your mind.
Just trail off there. All right. Well, I guess that's that.
And that on that note, happy Valentine's Day, everybody, and be sure and check out our website slaughterfilm.com for news and reviews and bug-eyed penis monsters.
Yeah, make sure to leave any questions or comments either on our Facebook or email us or get a hold of us somehow. I hear Native American smoke signals work.
Those are the best.
Right, yeah, but we have to be looking up.
That's right. All right, that's it. Pink flamingos!
Body massage machine, go!
This edition of Slaughter Film has been brought to you by our producer, John Linvay, introduced by me, Ricky Morrow, and music by Xeno Genocide.